Welcome to a post-match reaction, U.S. Against Costa Rica. We just finished watching the Gold Cup quarterfinal, ended in penalties.
USA beats Costa Rica in pens.
Yes. And what was the final score in pens?
The 2-2 was the 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw.
But in pens, it went 4-5?
4-3? 4-3 penalties. Matt Free stopped, I believe. Three stops.
Yeah.
Keylor Navas had a couple. John Tolkien had an opportunity to win the game in within the you know, before sudden death and penalties. And Keylor Navas makes a fantastic stop. But
all right, here's your game summary, by the way. So you have obviously a beautiful, beautiful goal from Diego Luna. But why don't we start at the beginning of the match?
Yeah.
Keylor Navas with two big saves. There were moments there where he looked like he was a brick wall.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this is the old Keylor Navas. I was like, man, will he do it again?
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, he wasn't. But Alonso Martinez, towards the end of the match, as soon as there's a little bit of a turnover.
Sure.
We've seen it before at New York City FC.
You know, the other Costa Rica game that I watched was against Dominican Republic. Uh-huh. And DR completely shut down Alonso Martinez. I don't know what that says about the U.S. Defending, but I mean,
damn, Tim. Watch different Dominican videos.
The stats speak for themselves. But we're NYCFC fans. Alonso Martinez, you give him any real opportunity, and he could have won the game in regulation. That shot that went off the post.
If you're a New York City FC fan, you know all about it.
He gets his share of goals a season, but nobody hits the post more than
this man. No, this guy loves hitting the post. But let's talk about the USA side.
Yeah.
So obviously Max Arfston is a name that we should talk about because there were moments in this game when he gives up the penalty. It just seems like a real boneheaded defending at the time, just lunges for no reason, right? Gets involved in the play when he doesn't need to. Obviously they score, but it felt like a little bit of retribution from him. As the game went on.
Sure.
There were other moments where I'm like, dude, Max, come on, especially on the goal where he gets cut up. Two American defenders get cut up on a very simple run right at the edge of the box. But that penalty, he comes back from at least. He has a great assist.
He got the assist. Yeah, he got a great Luna. Assist.
And he seemed like he calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, and I've been saying this throughout, even before the Gold Cup, in the two friendlies beforehand, are the U.S. fullbacks are a little bit, there's a concern there because the drop off from who we probably want to be there is pretty drastic. And Arfston is a young player. The experience.
He's shown you, first of all, great looking guy, incredible hairline.
Yeah, that's first of all. I can't believe I didn't start with that.
No, we gotta give the man credit where he deserves. All right. First of all, great looking kid, beautiful head of hair.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now he looks like an extra in a Bronx Tale.
Okay.
Right? You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Good looking kid. But obviously gets he had the goal.
Yes. He scored in the second half.
Completely forgot about that.
He got the assist and the goal in the second
half. But obviously a little bit of retribution there. Four interceptions. So two out of two successful crosses. He had moments in this game where he's like, I get your point where the drop off from your top tier, your A starter.
Sure.
Right. But there's moments where I'm like, I feel like he's earning himself a place, maybe on the bench as of right now.
Maybe. I'm going to say.
Think about who else, right? Who else who's debutizing behind Anthony Robinson? Who's been behind Anthony Robinson that's really impressed? I love Christopher Lund, but I don't think he's impressed as much. I don't think he's showing you as much as a Max Arfston.
Okay. Hey, Arfston, to me, at this point, feels like a better fit in the Columbus Crew than he does on the national team.
Okay, that's without a doubt.
Because Nancy, I and maybe this is just shows his level of adaptability and growth going forward. What are you laughing at?
Somebody in the chat, Shasta maybe Ant. He said Matt Turner getting cooked.
Yeah, we got that. That had to be highlighted.
Right now in the lead for this shirt. This PSG shirt.
But yeah, Arfston is, it's just, to me, not fully, I'm still worried about defensively and going forward. Like, we saw the stat, 2 out of 2successful crosses. I would love, even if it was 2 out of 6successful crosses. I mean, like, the opportunities to put those crosses in don't seem to be opening up for him. So that's why I'm a little bit worried, but I love that he had, he made up for the conceded penalty And
which is what you want, right? You want to, if you have a young player that's getting an opportunity with the national team starting, not a typical starter, you know, seemingly has come out of nowhere in the last year to get himself a spot. There's a couple of players on this squad that we're going to talk about who fit this bill so far.
Sure.
What you want to see from them is if they make a mistake, that they start to make the applicable changes in game. They start to make adjustments in game.
Yeah.
If you're not playing well, you make adjustments, Ajimang. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think we talked about this on the last show about Ajimang. And he has a microscope on it. Every USMNT fan is looking at him every touch, every decision he makes, every pass.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, the difficult part is this is a position that for all intents and purposes, and I think Ricardo Pepi right now is clearly in the lead, maybe neck and neck. You could say 1-1A with Balogun if you still believe Balogun is at the top. They are right now one neck and neck for one, but it's not solid. It's written in pencil. Anyone could step up and move their way up there. Right now, Patrick Ajimang has shown me nothing that he deserves to be in the conversation for a starter.
For starter?
That's why you got to let me finish the sentence.
I'm like, nothing. I mean, he's there.
He showed me that. Yeah, maybe you get more than this. You get more chances.
Sure.
But in this game, you've made no adjustments. You didn't do something different than you've been doing at the beginning of the game that didn't work. At some point, you got to show me something.
I mean, at the very least, I think he... I mean, and it's not saying much, but I'm like trying to find the positive. I mean, he does create space. He is a bit of a problem for defenders. His physicality is it causes a lot of trouble and confusion to most defenders. But it's just a factor of like, can he? He has to put a couple pieces together. Yeah. But we have to talk about.
Well, he's not our player.
He's not a player of the game.
He is absolutely not the player of the game. But who is, Christian?
It is Diego Luna.
Absolutely deserves it, man.
Diego.
I said, so Josh, who's one of our producers in the background, not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but he's learning, he's getting there. I said, yo, this guy's a dog. And he's like, yo, he's bad. I go, no, watch him, bro. He's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Josh been running around the studio yelling, this guy's a dog this whole time. He's ready to buy a Diego Luna jersey. He might get a Diego Luna lower back tattoo. Which is 48 tattoos on your lower back.
Just Sharpie Luna on his chest, bro. He's
like, oh, yo, I'm committed.
He's like, yo, he tells everybody, he's like, it means moon.
Yeah. Which okay. You got to put it on the booty if you're going to do it. But yo, obviously the successful dribbles, three shots, a goal in the 43rd minute. The goal is incredible. But what you can't capture in stats is just how much of a gamer this dude is. You can see in real time why Pochettino loves this man.
Yeah, and you know, when we were... a couple weeks ago, trying to predict our World Cup rosters for next year, we both didn't have Diego Luna on there. And now it's feeling like that's clearly a wrong decision.
By the way, in my stories, I shared that Rezzy shows you now your stats, which we
yeah,
don't
that's
need
right.
To see.
Your food,
we don't need to see
restaurant
that.
Reservations.
I'm at
yeah.
148 reservations. That's crazy,
my man. Yeah. We're talking about player of the game, yeah. Eater of the game,
yeah, right? Yeah, let's go. Including last night with wifey. But yo, maybe Ant says, what's more likely to happen? The U.S. winning a World Cup or Alexis getting to 150 reservations? Yo, maybe Ant right now stepping hard, bro.
But no, Diego Luna is I think deserving of a World Cup spot because
I need to put you on the spot. Has he done enough to deserve a World Cup start? Because who would he start over
right now? No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so either. But yeah, only because the roster.
I'm comfortable enough to say that's started on the B squad, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that way too. And there's just certain moments. I mean, obviously the goal was great, but. He plays with a little bit of a fearlessness that gives him the edge across some other players. So even there was a moment in the second half, a few moments before.
This is literally the picture where Josh yelled, "That's a dog!" Right?
Okay. So the barking was a little rattling. Yeah. I didn't expect that from
him. That's why I did it. I'm glad you noticed.
But there was a moment towards in a few minutes before he got subbed off where he has two players on him. He's like sort of by the touchline. You could totally understand him passing the ball back, but he makes a forward pass and it goes in between the legs and it gets to Ajimang, I believe.
He tries to break lines. That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
There's not enough players on the squad. And remember, we would blame Greg Berhalter for this. We would say, like, the players are playing tentative. They're not trying to break lines. They're not trying to be do something magical, do something brave, and we wouldn't see that. So we would blame Berhalter for that. I saw that in moments in this game too, where I'm like, come on. Like, you, Pochettino, you should be telling your players, turn, look, if you see an opportunity, break that line, do something brave, do something spectacular. It doesn't mean you have to take everybody on and try to get a shot on goal. Yeah. But if you can turn, you can bend, if you can needle a pass through, especially when you're going to be sitting behind a low block for most of the game and they're out of position at the moment, try that. Diego Luna, Malik Tillman seem like the only two that were really trying to do that this whole game.
Sure. I like this a comment from James Sharnit said, we need more people with grit and fire like Luna. Too many, quote unquote, silent leaders on this team.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting interpretation of like...
I would say that's right, though. Yeah, I would say that's correct.
I mean, there aren't... I think in general with the U.S. men's national team, historically, there are more silent leaders than loud leaders, than vocal ones.
I think the ratio switches. If you go back in the past, it felt like everyone on the 11 in like the 94 World Cup were like loud and in your face. It felt like that. Or
maybe.
Most.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm thinking.
But like you're thinking of Landon Donovan.
Landon Donovan wasn't very vocal.
Super quiet.
Super quiet,
Christian
right?
Christian Pulisic, super quiet.
But it's interesting because.
Although now Donovan, I mean,
he's like, put me on that pod.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
Y'all need a hot take? I got one. He's like, we're trying to get these views, bro.
So, you know, watch my documentary, uh-huh. Right? So there's a little...
Like, order factor, so right?
Maybe yeah. There's a different... maybe it's a little bit in between whatever vocal and silent sort of looks like of what leadership it kind of is. Because I think in general, for the U.S. men's national team, the leadership we look for is from the coach. Mm-hmm. We want the coaches have all been pretty vocal.
We were just alerted that they can hear in the background. They can hear okay. Hilarious. we're okay. Going to delete that track when this goes out, so don't worry about that.
All right. So, we have a couple comments on Twitter, correct?
Nice. Yes. Let's go to Twitter. What do we got on Twitter?
Yes.
You guys know where we're going. You heard production. It's just hilarious. All right. Mark Sampson now has to be the most assist out of any player in the 2025 Gold Cup with 3.
And shout out to Fabian Renkel. Fabian Renkel. Okay. So,
and Renkel.
Sure. I gotta ask him. Next up, what do we got next?
Us. Here we go.
Right there.
Watching Max Thompson defense starter back. It's hilarious, bro.
Okay, so if you're...
We got a blood pressure monitor that looks like whiskey, a Bible, a respirator, and I don't know what Panadol Extra is, but I'm assuming it's heart medication.
I'm glad that he has the most assists, but this is my concern for him when it comes to defending. Because at the international level, no matter who you're facing, pretty much from any country, mm-hmm. they're probably going to... Whatever winger you're facing, Arsene is on the left, you're probably facing a pretty good right winger.
Yeah.
And this is my concern. Because it's like, yes, World Cup comes. There's an injury. Max Arsene have to come in.
In the World Cup, you're going to need to defend more than you're going to get a chance
100%,
up top.
100%.
So
yeah.
This is where I have a problem. But I will say, he didn't show me enough to suggest that I'm super scared of him being involved. You know what I mean? There's been other times, like when Joe Scally is a good example, when he first started, we were like, man, I thought this guy was a good 1v1 defender at least, and he wasn't even doing that well.
Right.
Max Arfson, at the very least, is showing you something, which is when he's able to run forward, he's effective.
I'm still a little bit like a little sour that Joe Scally is not on this team right now.
That is a little.
USMNT goal versus Costa Rica. Which is what? That's Ancelotti after what game? Must be a Champions League game.
This has to be Champions League pens.
Yeah. So look, I mean, tactical manager is the wet blanket of USMNT.
I don't know why we're showing up on this, to be honest with you.
It's all good. It's all good. But the wet blanket of USMNT, you're not allowed to be happy or proud of the team in almost any real way.
I think he gets paid by North Korea.
It's like...
I'm pretty sure.
It's you know what? This is a good example, a good comparison. Tactical manager is the Lee Gunner. 100% USMNT, they could do no right.
Let's stop saying his name. How about that on this show?
Sorry, Lee, didn't mean to do that. is that it? We had any more tweets, or are we good? We keep going. Okay.
All right.
We
muted your mic so you could talk in our ears if you need.
So, this was you were mentioning Berhalter, how people would get frustrated with Greg Berhalter.
Someone, Michael Raymond said, Arfston is our Trent Alexander-Arnold. I see it. I see it so clearly.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
And absolutely.
Maybe Ant said North Korea mentioned. Rah. Okay.
Did you see they opened a beachside resort?
I did not.
They did. So the jokes that we've said on the show, and by we I mean me, which is that I would happily have it's, as a sponsor travel to NorthKorea.com.
It's kind of wild.
It's coming to
where
life.
The world is, where North Korea is now looking like, hey, they ain't so bad.
They'd probably achieve vacation spot.
But you were mentioning earlier about getting frustrated. We used to get target our frustration with Greg Berhalter. Now we have a new Berhalter to get mad at.
Who tried to kill a couple birds with his penalty.
Sebastian Berhalter, what is your take? And this was, you know, one of the toughest games he's obviously played for the U.S. men's national team outside of those friendlies. But
I'd be interested to see what his stats laid out, because what I saw was there was a couple of people. I think part of the Costa Rica.
USMNT Bernie just said the Berhalter family has done irreversible damage to U.S. soccer.
The whole family.
Can't really debate it either.
Nah, I mean, I got nothing to say. You do you. Sebastian Berhalter created the most chances in the match with 4, which is interesting.
Okay.
Look, I think the playbook for Costa Rica was to physically abuse all of the midfielders.
Yeah, that was
hit them hard, hit them often, and get them out of their game. There were moments where Sebastian Berhalter, I thought, was pretty strong in sort of taking that abuse and finding ways around it.
Sure.
He didn't get to have the game he wanted. But the way you highlight your game, the way you put an asterisk or I should say an exclamation point at the end of your stats is by at least getting your penalty on frame when you're given the opportunity. And he completely ripped somebody's head off in the 18th row.
It's a shame. I mean, he went for power over placement, as we saw.
He hit him with a fuagata.
He went full fuagata. Uh-huh. You never go full fuagata on a penalty. You can't.
Unless your child talks back to you. Whereas we learned growing up.
Sure. Parenting advice in 2025.
Yeah. I'm just remembering what my mom used to do.
I always think about the Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal would talk about when he took free throws. Mm-hmm. When he was practicing them in the gym, he was making them.
Yeah,
He was making them. And then when he was in a game and he's shooting free throws, something is in his head.
I'm going to say there's a little bit of a difference, which is you do a lot more free throws than you do penalties.
Of course.
In game. So there was an expectation that he was going to miss. So he must have felt in that moment, everyone in this building thinks I'm going to miss. I'm the only one who thinks I'm going
to
make it.
I mean, that's it's a wild thing to even think, right? You got to see the ball rippling the net.
No, that's not true. Because like even as a comic, if every other comic before you is bombing, you walk up there going, you have all the confidence, like, I'm going to be the one to change it. But as soon as you grab that mic, you know, oh my God. Yeah. I'm about to
bomb. I know what they went through. Yeah. I know why they went through what they went through.
Right. So in that moment, you have to say to yourself, I'm better than that, right? You have to get over that. Sebastian Berhalter doesn't take that many penalties.
So, sure, not at all.
So when he goes up there, everyone's like, hey, let's see what this guy can do. He's not a center back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, I think, put himself in a position of putting too much pressure.
Yeah, he filled his cheeks with air. Yeah. You know, he did and he's like, that's a little, that's like you're trying to get the anxiety out.
Right.
And you didn't get it all.
You did not get it out.
So you got to find a different breathing exercise. It was unfortunate. Look, it obviously worked out for the U.S. But yeah, I thought he handled the abuse. He was getting fouled a lot. Also, Tillman was getting battered throughout the game. And I thought they handled it well. It could have been, I wish after the goal and after the save from Navas in the second half that Chris Richards either got a head on it, I forgot, but it was a great opportunity. That something happened after that moment that they took their foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have ever equalized. There should have been that third goal. And I who knows what it is. It's like a hive mind of like, oh, like all of a sudden, oh, we all got to defend. We all got to, it's like a panic.
Yeah, yeah. But I also think like when you take the foot off the gas, that also is like, you know, we've talked about this in comedy where like the entire audience all of a sudden feels like, I'm like, how did this whole group of people who've never met before decide I suck at this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All at once. That hive mind, it happens. Like when you see someone else calm it down and everyone else is taking it easy, you start to take it easy out on the pitch. And that's what bit us in the ass.
Michael Raymond said, Berhalter said, quote, "Oh, you hate my dad? Hold my beer."
Watch this.
Michael Raymond asked the question, has Tillman earned the starting role for the World Cup?
I think so. I think he's impressed enough for me to say, if anyone in our quote unquote A squad, central midfield takes a step back, this guy immediately starts. Also, if he does get the move to Leverkusen, we're going to see in real time over the next season what he can do in the club with his club form. And I was wildly impressed with Malik Tillman yet again. I know he missed the penalty, but there's something about the way he plays. There was a part where, was it the Max Arfstein goal, where Malik Tillman gets the ball centrally. He just feints slightly to the right, which going further central, holds his defender even longer, gives himself a perfect outlet for that goal to go in. Those little movements right there, that is a level we have not seen from him.
Yeah, to me, I mean, what was the World Cup midfield? Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, and Yunus Musa. Yeah. Tillman over Musa right now.
Tillman over Musa without a doubt.
And that would be...
But also, get on the pitch with Leverkusen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do what you didn't do at the beginning of the PSV season, which you certainly did at the end of the PSV season.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he had an assist, and that was the assist I was just talking about. But in particular, just his ability to make that pass, him, especially the connection, and we were bringing it up while we were watching the game, the connection he has with Diego Luna. Diego Luna was seemingly like, remember what Jack Wilshere was able to do, sort of draw a defender, but like so close that he would wait to the last second to make the pass. And the defender was almost, their momentum was almost so fully committed that he would take players out simply by letting them get that close to him.
Yeah.
Diego Luna and Malik Tillman were doing that. They were getting players so close to
Busquets
them.
Busquets does that too.
Without a doubt.
Of course. Masterful level. Right.
But I'm saying Jack Wilshere surprised people with his ability to do that. Busquets surprised no one. He's been doing it for, since he was a child.
He didn't do it today because he just gave the ball away for a goal.
USMNT Otaku says, Bayer Leverkusen watching Malik Tillman get his ass kicked every single minute.
That is
true because he was getting abused out there.
This is an interesting stat, though, that we didn't put up. But I don't. How many times did Tillman get fouled? And I think how many times a player gets fouled also says a lot about how much they impacted the game as well, because the defenders are worried about him getting around and stuff like that. So, yes, he was
the most fouled player in the match, by the way.
Without a doubt.
Six times.
I mean, so it's even when I'm playing in my Sunday league,
uh-huh.
I'm like, I know I'm not good.
Right.
I know I'm not going to probably get many goals or assists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I get like fouled two times in a game, I'm like, that's right.
Yo, you scared of me.
Y'all can't guard me.
You scared, dog. You got to go to this.
Violence?
Damn.
That's not what this game is about.
You know your dad would be wild disappointed in you if he saw you right now.
Okay. That's what I tell him on the pitch.
Yo, the moment you whacked me in the back, dog, you lost the battle, dog.
Okay. Wow. So yeah, he was fantastic, and I think he's easily should be in the.
Maybe Ant said USMNT Otaku is a wild handle. I agree with you.
Otaku is like, isn't it Otaku Japanese like anime type of thing? It's like it's like comic books, right? Otaku.
Yeah, it feels like an anime thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Is it?
No, it's not the bad anime thing.
That's the H word.
The H word, yes.
Yeah. That's the H word.
Josh is like...
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Think about like a female rooster and the thing you wear around your neck at a wedding.
Hilarious.
Put those two words together.
So,
Tillman, Adams, McKennie midfield. This is from Michael Raymond. A Tillman, Adams, McKennie midfield would be wild.
I don't know. Wild is not the word I would use.
I kind of agree.
Like
you got,
fun?
No, wild like egregious, in a good way.
Okay, yeah.
Wild in a good way, right? Because you got Tyler Adams parking back,
mm-hmm.
protecting the back line. You got McKennie kind of going box to box a little bit, maybe making some, you know, field switches, right? And you got Malik Tillman just debutizing up top.
Yeah.
Debutizing, not the right word?
Debutizing? You said, it sounds like you said debutizing.
Deputizing. I was thinking of the H word.
Okay, he's out there.
I messed up.
You know, being a sheriff out there.
Hey, like, hey, y'all all right? let me see your ID. He's what you would call it? He's just sort of being that guy to, you know what I mean, to pull the strings.
Sure.
I like it. I like it. I'll mess with that. Okay. That means Pulisic would be left winger or right winger, if you ask him.
okay, until he settles the rumors.
I love it. We watching the Instagram likes, dog. We see which way you headed, bro.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so the who do they play? Oh, wait. Well, we have to talk about, actually, Mauricio Pochettino and take some time there because...
Michael Malley said, it's spelled debutizing in Blangola.
Thank you, shout out, Mike.
He remembers the Blangola education.
Let's talk about Mauricio Pochettino because the report came out about him... supposedly or allegedly interviewing for the job at Brentford.
At least having a conversation about the job.
Correct. Yes.
And he said, I didn't talk to nobody.
He said, I don't know her.
I don't know the man. Yo, check my phone. You know my password.
Okay. I nothing from you, girl.
Damn, bro. My phone face up. You see it all.
Nobody's calling me at weird hours in the night. because
I work with him. That's Alexis.
So it was interesting. I don't know if we have the tweet or the person who reported it, but it was like everybody was like, who was like this?
For the 42.ie, obviously, which is a publication.
Ireland, right? That's that IE is Ireland. I have no idea. If I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was Internet Explorer.
Okay, well, that's why I'm the IT guy here, bro.
And that's why we need you, bro. So, I said, you're this dude using Netscape, bro.
So it was just like some guy who said that Brentford were, you know, obviously trying to fill the vacant position.
Yeah.
And they interviewed several coaches. And
from our sources, which are pretty high up, apparently cold water was poured on that immediately. It's like, that's none of that's true.
Yeah, from our sources. And also, Pochettino was asked immediately.
Well, that was after that.
And also, he was like... No, I did not interview.
That
would be very disrespectful to you know, to the U.S. and the whole thing. But the fact that that this came out at all, is the reporter blatantly lying, or did Brentford at the very least like, yo, slid in the DMs just to see?
Or maybe Pochettino's friends with someone from back in his coaching days that now is at Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
When they were on the phone, they're like, yo, you wouldn't be interested in the gig, right?
Yeah.
He was like, absolutely not. I'm with the U.S. through the World Cup. He was like, all right.
He was like, well, we interviewed him.
Like, yo, you heard it, right? We had a long conversation about it, to be honest with you.
Because his name being there as
that's
a
like if you DM Dua Lipa and you're like, yo, you free next week? And you're like, yo, I asked her out on a date.
Technically, I did, right?
Technically, I did, right?
So his name being in a possible pool of candidates, to me, does something. Maybe an agent leaks something. Maybe it could be completely false. But just the fact that his name is there says something about...
The smoke worries me, right? Where there's smoke, there's fire. That little bit of smoke.
Right. It could be that.
Being
it could
connected
be,
to teams.
Yeah,
even.
So, like, obviously, we're going to worry about that. But, like, I'm trying to think of it from Brentford's perspective. Like, yo, throw Pochettino's name in there because to show how everybody really wants this job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to raise the stock of just the position itself to maybe pit other candidates against each other.
Right.
Things like that. I don't know. I'm just, you know, the business side of it. I'm just wondering... Why in the world? Pochettino clearly wants to coach at the World Cup. Why would he give up that opportunity? For with all due respect, for Brentford, it's he can get that job whenever he wants after the World Cup.
I don't know if it's still a Premier League club.
I'm not saying, but it's Pochettino.
Yeah. It's Pochettino. Like, you don't need to take that job. You can probably get a multitude of other jobs.
Yes.
Yeah, you're Pochettino. You will have opportunities with clubs even bigger than Brentford.
Right. So my argument is that the reason Pochettino's name is attached to Brentford is to try to get other coaches that are of like high value.
Oh, like when a free agent, like the agent leagues are like, yo, Arsenal interested in that.
Exactly.
MLS
exactly.
is willing to pay us $17 billion.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what this kind of feels like.
They're using him as bait.
Right. So when
you
I
couldn't see it because I wasn't on camera.
When Pochettino's saying, hey, this is completely untrue.
Yeah.
I'm like, my mind goes to, okay, they're trying to work something or whatever, or trying to work something in the media or something along those lines.
I would say Costa Rica is probably the toughest test we faced since, or probably this whole tournament, right? Because Saudi Arabia clearly has been playing well. What grade would you
give? Michael Raymond said, did Jesse Marsh leak it?
He would have leaked that Jesse Marsh was being talked to. What grade would you give Mauricio Pochettino for just this Gold Cup tournament?
So far, I think we talked about this after the group stage. I said a C.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a B minus now.
I'm willing to stay at B.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You're winning.
All right. Yeah. Look, getting the results. And
the biggest issue for me with this match in particular, because now we're in the knockout stages. This isn't a you lose, you go home now. This isn't a you can learn lessons. You got to be a little bit. I'm expecting him to be a little bit stricter with subs. Like, make those subs a little bit earlier.
Right.
In particular, Patrick Adjumang, which, yeah, we joked around at the beginning a little bit, but he really did show you nothing. This, even if it's not who he is as a player, he didn't have it this game. And that's going to happen from time to time. You got to pull him a little bit earlier. Patrick Adjumang, who had 8 touches in the opposition box, 1 out of 4 successful dribbles, 3 out of 8 ground duels won. He was bad.
Yeah.
There were moments where passing the ball to him was essentially giving it back to the other team.
Sure.
He was making runs in the wrong direction. And whether it was Tillman sort of passing in the wrong place, the blame for me will sit at Patrick Adjumang, because how do you put yourself in a position where this happens multiple times? This tells me this is your fault, not Malik Tillman's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were times where he could have made a curling run around the center back and he sort of seemed nervous. He didn't make those runs. So for me, I'm looking at him and saying, you gave us nothing. When long balls came to you, which are, you're going to be big, you're dominating presence, you can't even do that, dog. There's times where the ball would come to you and it get lost in your feet, and all of a sudden the defender has it back. It's like, bro, you gotta do something to prove you deserve that opportunity. And in this game, and I'm not saying this is who he is as a player, maybe he starts next match and he scores 2 goals, but in this match in particular, you had nothing. Pochettino should have pulled his card a little bit earlier.
I agree.
Especially when Damian Downs comes in, he's immediately goal dangerous.
The first sub didn't happen till what moment? Yeah, it took a while. And it's unfortunate. The 78th. This is too. I mean, there's a decent amount of talent on the bench, and there's opportunities earlier in the game, especially, like I said, after Arsenal scores the goal, around the 70th minute is when, or even 60th minute, there should be some opportunity when you see the energy going down a little bit. Pochettino, and I feel like Pochettino's this Gold Cup, it's been in chunks of like of minutes, like a bad 15 minutes for Pochettino, like just didn't do the right thing in that particular moment. It hasn't collectively been bad, just moments where you're like, this could be a little bit.
Maybe it's also having like a weaker bench than expected, and maybe it's also having really trust in your starters that they'll figure it out, giving them that opportunity. I don't know, can we highlight a chat and put it on the screen? Can we do that? All right. Maybe Ant, if you go to like the second to last comment, if you can highlight that on the screen. How long does that take? 2 minutes? All right.
It's going to be a bit.
Yeah, all right. Well, in a second we'll get to it. It's very funny. Speaking of Pochettino, you know, we're, as much as we're looking at the players, all right, I don't want to say it a lot, but it's the one about Eli. If we're looking at the players and we're expecting them to step up, I'm kind of expecting Pochettino to prove that all the rumors of him not being good enough, not caring enough, or whatever they were, that not having his head completely in the U.S. men's national team, that goes away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something where, like, I don't know how frustrated to be or how, like.
By the way, he retracted it, so never mind. but I'll just say it out loud. It was hilarious. He said Eli Lesser got caught lacking and got a photo taken of him with a whole glizzy in his mouth.
Oh yeah. I saw the Portland Bangers. Yeah. Okay. It's just not related to anything.
It's not related to anything. Don't, he retracted, so
There's
don't
like
worry about
7
it.
People that know what we're talking about. But go see Eli Lesser with a sausage.
So hey. Hilarious.
RP Smooth said Adjumang stinks with the ball on his feet.
And that's a big problem when you're a striker.
There, look, this is the frustrating thing is that there also has not been somebody definitively better to take that spot.
Not on this squad.
Not on this squad. And if we're complaining about Adjumang, then.
Hold on. Damian Downs, who I think suffered a concussion, right? In a previous match, they said something happened to him.
Okay.
From what I saw in the limited minutes that he got, he immediately came and was goal dangerous. And that is something that, remember, Balogun was sort of doing the same thing Adjemang was doing, like trying to find those moments but wasn't finding it. And then Pepe comes in and immediately he's getting shots on target. Immediately he's asking questions of the goalkeeper. That's what I saw from Damian Downs. The few minutes that I saw from Damian Downs and from the overwhelming evidence that I have of Patrick Adjemang, I think Damian Downs gets the next start.
That I'd be very shocked.
As would I. There's a reason why I'm not the U.S.
I'd be very shocked. Okay.
I think that's what should happen.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like who has, more experience, I would still go with Adjemang and maybe bring him down a little bit earlier. That's my level of compromise. But yeah.
Do you think it would hurt his confidence if he's benched?
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Maybe builds a little fire underneath him. Okay. He comes in off the bench, you know?
Sure. All right. Well, you know, what was it? Klinsmann left Landon Donovan off the World Cup roster. Off the roster. What did that do to
him? That's a little different than being on the bench, I think.
All right. Let's look forward just for the semifinal matchup. The semifinal matchup is going
to
be against Guatemala.
That's
which
what I was
is
trying to do.
And what a surprise. I mean,
watching the penalties, Canada versus Guatemala was crazy because Canada held on. They looked pretty good, even down a man.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not think Guatemala had it in them. But for them to get to this point is absolutely incredible. They're not an easy team to beat.
Not at all. I watched them a little bit in the Gold Cup, but there was a World Cup qualifier that they played against Dominican Republic. And DR was up 2-1 in that game and they ended up losing 4-2 or 4-1, something mm-hmm. like that. And they look pretty good. They have a couple MLS guys. They have Aaron Herrera, who's at, I believe, DC United right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Escobar is also on FC Montreal.
Okay, I could be wrong.
Or CF Montreal, sorry.
So, but this is...
But I think most of their players, I think 9 out of their 11 play in the Liga de Guatemala.
Which is incredible. It also says... just something to look a lot of the heart and this is kind of what Gold Cup is about. You know, I also have the complaint that I don't love that the Gold Cup is every 2 years, but for these quote unquote smaller footballing nations,
yeah.
This is, you get to see the growth, that incremental growth. You see it a little bit quicker.
Well, I mean, we're talking about signature wins that the U.S. hasn't had one in a very long time. For Guatemala beating Canada,
it's a powerhouse.
A powerhouse in CONCACAF. That's a signature for a win for Guatemala.
Yeah.
Can they do it two in a row? Can they beat the U.S. men's national team?
I mean,
team?
You're going to, I have to say no. The U.S., yes. You would imagine, I think they probably shouldn't have been. No, but they probably shouldn't be in Canada. Schaffelberg gets that second yellow, dumb second yellow, and gets sent off. And that is probably the thing that keeps Guatemala in the game.
People don't know this, but before this, you were at a family party. Were you watching the Canada game?
I was. I had some highlights. I was watching in the car while I was driving.
All right. That's safe for everybody on the road.
This is how much I risk for this community.
Damn.
All right. But no, I do my homework, even if it's on in the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So a dumb situation for Canada. And it's something even also because Jesse Marsh has been in the news being investigated and all that stuff. He's arguing with referees and everything. And then and takes this loss. This is a pretty embarrassing loss for Canada. But as USMNT fans, you're going to have to be a little bit excited. Like, oh, okay, we're ready. We're 1 foot in the final. Yeah. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's Guatemala.
We should win. But yeah. Mike Malley also just calmed me down a little bit. He said, Alexis, don't worry. Mateo was driving. That's so much better.
Sure.
Oh, my God. How does he reach
Mateo,
the pedals?
My son, also, he's two years old.
2 years old.
Wants to, when we go to the car, we're going anywhere, he wants to be in the driver's seat. Literally, he like will cry if we don't put him in the driver's seat and let him hit the buttons for a little bit.
That's how I am.
It's adorable, but it's like, bro, we got to go.
I do that in every Uber. And they get very upset by it. My score is very low.
What's that? Touch screen.
I sit on the guy's lap. I'm like, what's up, Pedro? where are we going? As if I didn't put it in there. USMNT Burner said, good night to everyone except Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, man.
There was a moment, though, where I thought maybe we messed up in not hiring Jesse Marsh and hiring Pochettino. There's been some moments.
I mean, sure. Those two friendlies. I mean, the roster is Jesse Marsh would have had the same exact roster.
Although he said, remember, he kind of subtweeted, if you will.
Yeah.
He subbed Pochettino early on and said, hey, we got everyone we wanted. After this loss, he said, if I have to, be honest, we're with a half a squad.
Oh, I thought everybody was available.
Yeah. No, that's when you're like, you know what? I've had too much whiskey. I'm so sorry. It's never like this.
But yeah, this.
Also, the chat is with me that Damian Downs should start.
Interesting chat.
Yo, shouts to the chat, bro. You guys know what you're doing.
This is a Mike also says, so glad he lost. Jesse Marsh is so annoying. I don't know. There's something. Is he annoying because he's the Canadian coach and he was rejected by the U.S.?
But would he be annoying if he was our coach?
Nah, it would be like,
doing it to everyone else.
Pete CONCACAF. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesse Marsh gets it.
He's getting under your skin, dog.
Okay.
It's what we're supposed to do.
But he's getting under the skin of the fourth official.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I almost thought you said foreskin. I was like, what are you talking about? That's crazy.
All right.
Like, damn.
Please, anybody in the chat.
What happened in that drive, dog?
Someone in the chat, please tell me that maybe there's another human being that thought I was going to say that. I can't imagine there is.
I was like, why is he saying this right now? This is crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I the one who's supposed to be messing up?
Okay.
Carter's holding up foreskin. He's saying foreskin. He just did this. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe it means 4 minutes. Or
no, there's no way it can mean that. Yeah.
RP Smooth said, hey, yo. Yo, perfect time to bring up the Eli picture.
So what do they need to do as far as winning against Guatemala? Is there anything they need to focus on?
You're going to have to be better than you were this match at breaking down a low block, because Guatemala is going to try to pick. I mean, here's the problem. Costa Rica simply waited for us to make mistakes and then jumped on them. And right. It worked. It got them two goals.
Mm-hmm.
Guatemala is going to do the exact same thing. And if we continue to be this sloppy with the ball, if we continue to be this lacking in aggression when we're up a goal, certainly the game's not locked up. If we're going to continue to do those things and let these teams back in, we're going to continue to pay for it. Costa Rica is going to really rub it in our – I'm sorry, Guatemala is really going to rub it in our face, because you saw them do it to Canada. Yes, that was Canada with a man down, and Canada still looked good. They still found a way to squeak out a win. They're not an easy competition. We should beat them handedly.
I mean, look, if this game was played in Guatemala, I would probably be a little bit more concerned. Mm-hmm. But, I got to be – hopefully it's not – too arrogant or whatever, but my confidence is pretty high. And after seeing the performances against Costa Rica, I thought Matt Freese played well. I mean, even the second goal, he stopped the shot. Obviously, it bounces right back to the player, and he just lays it off for Alonso Martinez. But I think, and this is where we wrap up. We could talk about Matt Freese. I think, you know, I joked earlier I fear that Matt Turner maybe lost that number one position. But this is winning that game, making those two penalty stops, I think says a lot for the confidence that Pochettino will have in him.
Let's not forget, for about five penalty kicks in a row, could be four, I could be mistaken. Hey, there's four again. I could be mistaken. Matt Freese guessed the right way. That's important. That's important to remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was in the minds of the defenders. He was getting in their minds. I'm sorry, of the kick takers. He was putting himself in the right position. Did he get to every one of them? No. But that's something that creates fear and worry and anxiety in the next penalty taker.
Sure.
Because you're like, man, this guy's going the right way every time. That tells me that if it gets down to penalties, I kind of would rather have Matt Freese.
Yeah.
Over Matt Turner.
And Matt Freese, I'm trying to think if for NYCFC, if he's been... he's obviously had to stop some penalties. We got a tweet from Tom Boger. It says, USMNT goalkeeper Matt Freese tells Fox after the match, he says, quote unquote, penalties are my thing.
And he takes a picture of him with the tongue
out. Okay. What is he? Jordan Duncan?
He's a party boy.
I love Matt Freese. And I just, I'll tell the story again. I said it on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but I saw him. We saw him at a World Cup event. This World Cup poster that's right behind the Lexus over there, when they revealed that poster, Matt Freese was there with a couple with Kevin O'Toole and Justin Hawk, and I was telling him that I felt bad that he didn't get any minutes at the January window in those two games.
And here he is.
And you know, I'll say again what he told me. He said, the coaches, they told me I probably wasn't going to get any minutes because it's my first time at the camp.
Well, second time up.
And then second time up, it's like, hey, you're the guy.
Yeah.
And it says a lot about, I think, I hosted a Q&A for NYCFC a few days ago. And the sporting director, David Lee and Thiago Martins and Aiden O'Neill were there and talking about Matt Freese and talking about Alonso Martinez at the Gold Cup. But David Lee really highlighted the coaching staff, the goalkeeping coaching staff for NYCFC, and that it's been Sean Johnson,
obviously,
who went to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And now Matt Freese. So they produce great goalkeepers. Yeah. These last like 6 years, they've really getting the goalkeepers in position, whether it's training, whether it's playing in important games. And Matt Freese is a great example of that. And David Lee talked about how much he believed in him when they brought him from the Philadelphia Union, because he wasn't going to get over Andre Blake.
No, of course not.
And now look at, now you could argue he probably, if he was still at the Union, he probably should be starting over Andre Blake. But it says a lot about
I'm glad he's our guy.
It says a lot about the Union goalkeeping staff and also NYCFC. But yeah, just fantastic from him and really, really happy for him as well to get those stops. But the stock for Matt Freese went up for me for sure. Okay.
So I'm also going to say we need our strikers to be effective. That for me is the key to winning against Guatemala. We're not going to get that many chances. We're not going to get that many open looks. If Ajimang is the starter or if Damien Downs is, if you get an open look, you got to get the ball away from your feet. You got to do something. Either pass it, you got to take a shot.
Yeah.
Enough with the too many touches. By the way, just in case anybody doesn't know, we're going to be going live again Wednesday after the semifinal. So make sure you hit the bell or whatever it is you got to do to remember when we go live. You can click on that alert right then and there.
You got a pen, you got a marker, write it on your body.
Bro, dude, come on. In fact, I'm looking at this thing. Where is the bell? it should be like over here.
Okay.
Look down right there.
Right there. Hit the bell. I mean, not the bell on this particular video, but subscribe to our YouTube channel.
No, you can hit the bell on this video. I think that's for everything.
No, it is not for it. It's only for this game or this
video. Then why are you listening to me, though?
We're going to put it tomorrow. We'll put out the YouTube post. So you can hit the bell on that one and as a reminder. And
somebody asked, when does the Dominican Republic play again?
Damn, bro.
Damn, maybe.
Maybe next Gold Cup. 2 years. You know, we'll be 2030 World Cup. We'll see you there, buddy. All right.
Damn.
It's going to be fun. All right. Everybody, thank you for hanging out with us here on.
Also, the Cooligans. Everyone said no. They didn't think you were going to say.
Good. Yeah, I figured that.
It's crazy. So it's just me? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We know whose brain is rotting from the inside.
Oh, yeah. And the outside, dude. The fish stinks from the head.
Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us live right after the game, Costa Rica and USMNT. USMNT play, obviously, against Guatemala on Wednesday. The game is at 7 Eastern time. We'll be live immediately after that. So come hang out with us as well.
LAFC currently losing to Vancouver, by the way.
Okay. Dang. Yeah, that was important. So make sure you follow us. Hit the like button if you haven't on this video yet. And subscribe, obviously. And tell all your friends. Come hang out on Wednesday. The chat will absolutely crush it today. So shout out to the chat. We had easily like 60, 70 people at one point.
We had a fun time. This reminds me of when we used to do lives, how hilarious our chat is.
Let me just actually... Ant just said, tell Polanco to check his DM before we leave. What?
Which one? Twitter?
Yeah, which one? Wait.
Blue Sky?
Oh.
Is it the glizzy picture? Send it.
I mean, why? Thank you.
Oh,
maybe
damn, son. That's no hands, bro. That's no hands, dog. That's crazy.
I mean, he posted it.
That's skills right there.
Anyway.
I don't know, man. Hey. Text her back, bro. I'm sure you miss her, bro. I'm sure you miss her, dog.
Happy Pride, everybody. We love it.
Yeah, shouts to all the LGBTQ.
Yeah, absolutely.
IA+ out there partying. salute you. Happy Pride, everybody.
All right. We'll see you on Wednesday. You subscribe. Do all the things you got to do. Everybody, take care. Shout out to Yahoo Sports staff as well. Carter and Josh handling all the graphics and everything. Big dog Josh out here. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.